Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth.
Well, it's good to be here today. I am a trophy of grace, I'm telling you. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's everyone in the room today. Good to have the Alabama crew back. Y'all sent a blessing to Danny Riles down there. He said they have blessed me. Tell them it was a blessing to have them here. And it's good to see Brother Johnny with us this morning. Surgery on Tuesday and church on Sunday. Isn't that good? Brother Burl's at home. He's doing better, by the way. Brother Clyde and Wanda are at home. And so God's a helping her people. Jimmy May and David need her prayers. They're having a difficult time. But God's good. And He's been good to us. And you know what? He can't help but be good. That's just who He is. He's good all the time. And so this is where my heart's at today. I pray this will help you. J. Vernon McGee said you're in deep water when you're in this chapter. I'm in Hebrews chapter number 8 this morning. It's where the Lord's led me. I pray this will be a help to you. But I don't know. I can't hit this running like a revival message or a camp meeting message. This is not that kind of scripture right here. Keeping this in mind when this scripture was written, this fact that if within about 6 to 7 years, depending on some argue, 6 to 7 years from the time this is written, Titus is going to roll into Jerusalem and that thing's going to be wiped out. So we're on the verge of that here. And some say one wrote this, the writers didn't sign his name to it, but we feel it's kind of Pauline. That it sounds a lot like Paul's writings. And I hope that I don't confuse a bunch of people today. I ask God to help me be very accurate in the Scripture. My thought is this: Christ Jesus covenant. There's a covenant that was made with Abraham. Are you with me? All you Bible readers know that. Abraham believed God and God accounted unto him as righteousness. He accounted it to him as righteousness. He believed God. Now, he didn't have the book. He didn't have the book, but God spoke to Abraham. Now, some think that that was a thought or a premonition, or I believe he heard God. I believe Abraham heard God. We call him Father Abraham. He's the father of faith. Are you with me? There's no Hebrews until that point. Okay? All descendants of Adam, all descendants of Noah, but there's going to be a group of people birthed by Father Abraham. He's the father of faith, and he's going to train up these Hebrews. Now, they're going to come through here. That's where Israel came from. Are you with me? Now, the writer of Hebrews is writing to people prior to the destruction of Jerusalem, and he wants them to understand this. He wants them to know that there's a better way. Some are still trying to be involved in Judaism. They're trying to integrate this or that or something into the way of the way. They call it the way in the early church. And they want to put something else in that, but Jesus said, I am the way. Now, beginning in Hebrews 8 in verse number 1, I'm going to read down through 6. You need your listening ears this morning. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is it in a nutshell. He's been talking about better things. I'm going to hit a few of them in just a moment. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That'd be Jesus. A minister of the sanctuary. I'll come back to this in just a moment. And of the true tabernacle. That's very important right there.
which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things. What does it take to have a shadow? An object. You don't have a shadow unless there's something there. It's impossible. You just have bright light. When the sun, it takes something to make a shadow. The example, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now, hath he obtained a more excellent ministry? By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Father, I thank you for the morning. God, I thank you for the songs. I thank you I'm a trophy of grace. I thank you that we only need ask. I thank you for each one that's come into the sanctuary this morning. Lord, I feel inadequate to do what you'd have me do. I pray, God, you'd fill my mouth and guard my tongue and preach me inside the bounds of this holy writ, and you would feed your people with your word by your spirit. God, I am incapable on my own, and I can't do anything without you, but bless your name, I can do all things through you. Strengthen me, Lord. Give me unction and understanding. I need your unction. I need your understanding, God. I let me be able to expound to the people what I believe you put in my heart. Maybe someone here is unsaved today. God, this is deep water for a lost person. But the Spirit of God can make it abundantly clear. So, Holy Ghost, sweet Holy Ghost, do your work. Do what only you can do. And I'll do my little part. Now get out of the way and praise you for everything accomplished. In the name of the King, Jesus, I pray this morning. Amen. And amen. Christ Jesus covenant. A covenant was made long ago with Abraham. He said this. He said, I'm going to bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. That is still in effect today. He said, I'm going to number you as the sand of the sea, speaking of the things of humanity. But he said, then he tells them, I'm going to number you like the stars in heaven, speaking of the spiritual things, the heavenly things. So there we have the natural things and the spiritual things. I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and all these things. Now don't think because that he came into his own and his own received him not, that being the Jews when Jesus came. Don't think that God has cut the Jew off and he's through with the Jew. He is not. His covenant will be fulfilled. Are you with me? But I'm thinking, God, today that there was a better covenant. I'm glad there's a better way. The word better in Hebrews is the word that should stir our heart. I don't have to bring a lamb to a priest once a year. I don't have to do these things that they've done to keep the law. I'm glad that Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I am not under the law. Praise God. Aren't you glad to be in the dispensation of grace today? Christ's covenant. The covenant is still in effect. The covenant is being fulfilled even as I speak. Say this. I want us to look right here quickly over these, and I hope I don't get tied up too long in these few verses. The things which we have spoken of the Son, we have such a high priest who is set down on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister. So there it looks like we have a contradiction, because a minister is one that has to get up and do something. He can't be seated. But that is the power of Christ. He is seated at the right hand of God. And all it takes for him to minister is His Word and His power through His Spirit. So He's doing two things. He's seated. That's saying He's rested. That's saying this. The work was done. It's finished. It's completed. But that's saying this also. Praise God, I got what you need. If you need something this morning, I can supply your need. We learned about sufficient grace in Sunday school. He is seated, and yet He is a minister of the sanctuary, that the true tabernacle. Understand this. The one that was built in the wilderness, there was a pattern, there was another, there was the tabernacle, and it was made, and it was made like unto those. So when you see the Ark of the Covenant in Revelation 11, and I think it's verse 19, and you say, well, there's the Ark of the Covenant, that's the true Ark. You won't find the earthly Ark after 2 Chronicles. You can't find it in the Bible. But you'll find the true Ark in Revelation 11. And there's thunderings and lightnings and voices proceeding out of this thing. I'm telling you, the Word of God, it is the place of God. God pitched it, not man. For the high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. He had necessity. He had to do this once a year for the atonement of sin. But there was more than that. There were sacrifices on a daily basis. There was a lamb offered in the morning. There was a lamb offered in the evening. Do you know if you walk by, praise God, close to the tabernacle or close to the temple in the day, in Bible days, it smelled like a barbecue. Because something was always on the fire. For if he were on earth speaking of Christ, if he was here, why would he? Why, seeing that there's a priest offer according to the gift, who served the example of Moses? I'll skip my verse here. It ordained the gifts and stuff. Wherefore it is necessary, this necessity of this man, that have somewhat also to offer. If he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Well, I thought he was a priest. He is a priest. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron. He's not coming in the Levitical tribe. He wasn't in that tribe. He's the lion from the tribe of Judah. And so if he was here, these Hebrews wouldn't be recognizing him as being able to offer a sacrifice. Praise God, he is and was the sacrifice. So here, if they don't understand this, stay with me. Some of you are already asleep. Who served the example unto the example of the heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make a tabernacle. He made all things according to the pattern of the mount, but now Jesus has a covenant with us. I want us to look at just a few things this morning. Number one, how does he prove this covenant to us? Number one, he proves this covenant to us by the revelation of Christ. Has Christ not been revealed? You know, I use this verse often, but it's so applicable right here, I've got to use it again. I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, these all being physical attributes, entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. It's the glory of God. It's the revelation of Christ. It's the revealing of Christ by the Spirit of God. Hey, I know I heard this from the time I was a tow-headed boy until these days now. Dennis, I can't remember a time I didn't know there was God and there was Jesus Christ. My earliest recall is this of my mother singing Jesus Loves Me and telling me about a man that died on a cross. I know these things. But listen, I didn't understand them. I was never convicted by that until the Spirit of God came where I was and moved upon me and said, you're a rotten, low-down sinner, Mike McCoy, and you must be born again, or that hell you hear preached about every Sunday night, Wednesday night, is where you will spend eternity. And I believe valley, and I sought refuge in a man named Jesus. And I didn't have to bring a lamb. No, praise God. I chose the lamb. Or should I say, the lamb chose me. The revelation, he could never be revealed in us unless first he departed from heaven. Paul, we're about to go into Galatians in Sunday school. Paul said it like this: when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Glory to God, that's me, I'm in there. The revelation of Christ couldn't have been understood, or we couldn't have comprehended it unless he had come to this earth. He had to come to earth. Are you with me? He came. Now, he not only departed from heaven, but number two, in this revelation, he died for humanity. Are you with me? Jesus, everyone under the sound of my voice, watching on the internet or that will hear this on a CD eventually, I want you to understand, Jesus died for you. No greater love hath any man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. No greater love, Brother Paul. Jesus died for Paul Phillips and Mike McCoy. I thought God was a big old bad God. This is the opinion of some. God's a big old bad God looking to crush everyone with a stick. No, look here. Here's what happens. You either accept what his Son done or you taste his wrath. I'll just tell you right now, if I was to give Dusty for this congregation of people and you ignored the death of my son for your benefit, I'd be hard on you. But God is long-suffering, as Sister Jan said prior to her song. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason is this. Say, why is that child abuser? Why is he still alive? Why is the whoremonger? Why are all these people? Listen, I'm going to tell you. You know the number one thing God hates? The number one thing, you know why the original sin was in heaven and why Lucifer was kicked out, O son of the morning, how it's our fallen, O Lucifer, Isaiah 14. You know why that happened? P-R-I-D-E. If you think it's a coincidence that this thing going on, which is an abomination in the eyes of God in America and around the globe today, is P-R-I-D-E. Friend, you are naive at best. I'm not a bit surprised by it. It's the number one thing God hates. I seen one jump up on the stage the other day and said, we've been here forever, and we're not going anywhere. So you're mocking, making fun. I'm being that. Listen, I'm just saying what took place. Friend, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. God hasn't changed his mind. What God called an abomination under the Mosaic law is still an abomination. That includes Junior Gardner said yesterday evening as I spoke with him. He said, look, we've let the drunkard and the whoremonger and all them off the hook and the thief and the liar. We've pushed all that aside and going after the pride-only people. I'm telling you, put them all in the same bag because this thing is what the wrath of God is going to come against. Bring your children to the First Free Will Baptist Church. And I promise you, I'll preach against sin. And I'll also preach about grace. It's by the grace of God that that's not me wrapped up in the middle of every bit of that stuff. Say, I'd never do that. You'd do things you never thought you'd do if you get in the right place. It just takes somebody to push the right button and you do things you never thought you were capable of doing. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our own hearts deceive us.
He departed from heaven. He died for humanity. Now he has all right to say this.
Say, well, God has no right. Look here, friend. All things were made by him. So therefore, when you make something, what do you say? That's mine. If I make something, I consider that mine. If I manufacture, I build something, I consider that mine. When you build your house, you say, that's my house. You buy a new car, you say, that's my car. We have babies, praise God, keep on working, girls, you're doing good. We have babies, we say, that's our child. Really, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Heaven and earth is his, and the fullness thereof. I really don't own anything save my soul, and he gave that to me to give back to him. Everything else is borrowed, and he lets me, I use my Lord's stuff. Amen. See, they're training them up in the way they ought to go. Don't forget what Jesus done. He died for humanity. That's everyone. Man, woman, boy, girl, born upon the face of this earth. And I tell you, I don't care what they say. They's either boys or girls. Hallelujah! You may not want to be a boy. Too bad. You may not want to be a girl. Too bad. There's only one of the other. And he died for everybody. Everyone, every sinner, every God hater, those that live and condone the spirit of Antichrist, he died for them. He died for Adolf Hitler and Mussolini. He died for Stalin, who killed multitudes of them. He died for them. He died that they wouldn't have to perish. But they wouldn't take the covenant. You still with me? The revelation of Jesus. Number two. Once he's dead, evidence of his covenant is the resurrection of Jesus. Now, if he just died and they buried him like Muhammad and he's got him over there in a tomb somewhere and he's still sealed up, or like Muhammad in Mecca, he's no better than Johnny or myself. But the resurrection of Jesus, this changed it all. First was the promise, Brother John, of the resurrection. He said, here's the love of the Father. He said, John 10 and 17, I'm going to lay down my life that I might take it again. Now he tells them this, they don't understand. Here's what the Jews are looking for. They're looking for a fella to come in, King of Kings, and wipe out the Romans, set him a throne up in Jerusalem, and set up on the throne, and all the Jews reign and rule over everybody, and everything would be good except for the ones that's reigning and ruling over. They missed that God's a spirit. And they missed that it was a spiritual kingdom. Plus, stay with me. There will be a natural, literal. Don't lose me. But he came first to seek and to save that which was lost. Humanity was lost. Somebody had to die. It took the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. They could not be saved unless the perfect one died for them. You still with me? Resurrection first was this. The promise of it there in John 10. He said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. He's going to take his own life up. Now, others had been raised from the dead. We've seen that. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. But nobody's got their self up yet. No one has tasted death
Brother Paul, and come walking out of the graveyard. Now they threw a dead man on the bones of Elisha, and he jumped up out of there. They said that was the exact double, the last miracle to make it double of what Elijah had done when he asked for a double portion. I don't know if that's here or there. You can count them for yourself. But they did drop a man in there. It was dead. He touched the bones and God resurrected him up. But Elisha stayed dead. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. He promised he was going to do it. And then he proved it on the third day. He proved it in power. When they came to the tomb, did you know Mary, who broke the alabaster box on him and washed his feet with tears and wiped them with her hair? Did you know you won't find Mary at the tomb that day? That's one Mary didn't make it. I think out of everyone in the entire circle in which Jesus came in contact with during his earthly ministry, I think maybe Mary's the only one that got it. Because she didn't come to the tomb with the rest of them. She anointed him before he was buried. Because she didn't expect him to stay there. Glory to God. And with power, Brother Johnny. When they show up at the tomb, he is not here, for he is risen like he said. Come see the place where he lay. There he is, an empty hole. And a missing body. A missing body. If that don't stir you up right now, one of these days death's going to come to your house. And you're going to say, go away! And death says, come with me. And no matter how long you kick and scream and cry, death's going to grab you and carry you out of here. Uncle Lyle Ledbetter was on his way to Cookville. He had a ruptured aorta. How long do you live with one of those? Very few seconds. Minutes at most. They put him in the ambulance. He said he is losing consciousness. And he said this. Hey, Ledbetter. He was a funny guy. I love him. He said, hey, Ledbetter, how do you stand with the Lord? He said, you know, he called me nephew. He said, you know, nephew, I looked into my soul and I said, you're in pretty good standing. You're in there with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if I go home, I'll just go home. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what resurrection power means. The day death comes knocking on your door, or you stand at the head of the coffin of a family or a friend, you're looking on that mortal corpse, that car they drove around, rode around in, but you know, like Job did, that though after the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That's a good thing. No one else can get you out of the box but Jesus. Doctor can't get you out. You can't get yourself out. The one who gets you out of the box is Jesus. The resurrected Christ. He made the promise of the resurrection and he proved it in power when he got up, Brother Paul. Number three, I'm moving right along. That brings us to this. And this is a point that many are confused about. Let's just take the book for what it says, okay? Now, look up here. I want you to understand this. I'm talking about a literal man. Jesus, the Christ. You understand they buried Jesus and Christ arose. You understand that? I'm talking about a literal man. I'm talking about a literal death. He died, literally died. I'm talking about literal blood. The difference between your blood and his blood is the blood comes from the daddy and his was incorruptible. Yours would not suffice. A lamb would not suffice, but the lamb was exactly what was required
and for order for us to be saved. I'm talking about literal blood. I'm talking about a literal burial, a literal tomb. I'm talking about a literal resurrection. Now I'm talking about a literal, immortal Christ who walked into the room and said, "Peace be unto you." They're all panicked. But when Thomas said, comes back and says, "I'm not going to believe lest I thrust my hand into his side and see the prints in his hand," and he showed up the next Sunday night prayer meeting and old Thomas was there, he didn't have to see his hands or touch his side. He fell on his face. He fell on his face. He said, "My Lord, my God." He said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed, but blessed are they that be us that have not seen and yet believe." That be me. Literal body. I'm talking about a literal mercy seat with his, I agree. Some disagree with this, but if you can have your own opinion. I agree with McGee on this fact that when he told Mary not to touch her, he hadn't ascended unto the Father. I believe he's going to present the blood then. If these are all an example of the true and a pattern of the true, there had to be a true mercy seat somewhere there in the presence of God. Now, I prayed about this last night. I said, "Lord, I don't have Scripture to prove how he carried his blood up. I just know that he did because it took the blood. It took the blood, the shedding of blood for remission of sin. When I see the blood, I will pass over you." It took the blood. I don't know. Say, "Well, you don't have Scripture on that blood going there." Oh, yes, I do. Hebrews 9, he said like this, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood." What did he do? He entered in once into the holy place. That's a better place. That's not Jerusalem. That's the holy place. He entered in once into the holy place to obtain eternal redemption for us. Once he entered in, what with? But his own blood. Wasn't the blood of a goat or a calf. It was his own blood, Jay. He entered into that place and obtained eternal redemption for us. But how he took that blood, I don't know, Danny. What he collected that blood in, how he carried that blood, I don't know. I don't know that. It's good to ponder. But he took it according to Scripture. Literal. So what is all that about, preacher? Well, here's what it's about. It's about Jesus being on the Mount of Olivet. And some of us have been there. Brother Johnny's been more than once. Sister Mary Ruth's been there more than once. Grover and I have been there one time. Some of you others may have been there many times. I don't know. But I've been on that hillside where he was standing, and two men in white apparel come to him as Jesus ascended on a cloud and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that you see taken up from you today shall so come in like manner." Ho, ho, ho. What does that mean? That means the return of Jesus. We have the revelation of Jesus inside in His covenant to begin His covenant, the covenant of Christ. We have the resurrection of Jesus, which confirmed His covenant still in effect. We have this, the return of Jesus. If He promised that His resurrection would occur and He had the power to get up out of the grave, may I suggest today that He's coming back. He's coming back. Now, I believe and teach, and some disagree with me on this, and I'm not going to fight you over it. I believe and teach this, that there are two times. First, there is the appearing of Christ. Paul's first letter was one of his first, maybe the first, was 1 Thessalonians. And he's writing to this church trying to help them because they were concerned about their loved ones that had died. And he said this, Brethren, I would not have you be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not either as others which have no hope. I'm glad I have hope today. That if you believe Jesus died and rose again, even them that believe in Jesus shall God bring with him. Whoa now, we bury them. How are they coming with him? I buried their body, Brother Jimmy. The soul and spirit returns. For this we speak to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So there's that ash, that bone, that place. Brother Jimmy straightened me out on something one time. I was at a graveside, and I got all beside myself preaching about the resurrection morning. I said, it's going to look like a 10-bottom plow come through here. Jimmy said, you know, Mike, I don't believe they're going to do that. I got to researching it. He's right. Listen, the only reason the stone was rolled away so you could see inside, it didn't have to roll away for him to get out of the grave. What does that mean? And when he shall appear, I'm about to have a fit. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. That grave's not going to have to open up. Hey, that ash or whatever it is on the bottom of the ocean, that thing going down that stream, Roger Buck said this one and told her to cremate me and put me in the creek. I said, I'm going to make it easy on him. I'm like Abraham. I'm going to have a burying place. But wherever it's at, whether it's in the Creek Watts Bar, the Mississippi River, on the whatever mountain peak, LeConte, or wherever, I'm going to tell you this. God knows where it's at. And he's going to gather that thing up. How he done it the first time, I don't understand. How he does it the second time, I do not understand. I just believe he's going to do it. Hey, and that soul that's coming back with Christ is going to be resurrected or reconciled or put back together with that body that comes up. Praise God. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking for appearing. Titus, Paul wrote it like this in Titus. We're looking for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking for that. I say this, even so, come, Lord Jesus. What a reunion. What a day. I say that in this area, though, in the perfect will of God, I ask for that. I've changed my mind just a little bit. I don't like to preach what I believe, like to preach what the Bible says. But he said this generation shall not pass away. When you see that olive leaf come forth, that representing Israel, and in 48 that nation was born, and you say a generation from that, and Jimmy, I've went 40, 70. I even consulted with some learned preachers, and they couldn't. One fellow told me this, and I'll not use his name, but I agree. He said, preacher, it's both, depending on the context in which it's given. It can be 40, or it can be 70, or, as I was reading in Genesis the other day, it can be 100. And if we go by the law of first mention, you know what the first mention of that generation is? Huh? 100. So if this once that occurs, once that leaf comes forth, if we put that, Brother Kerry, good to see you, if we put that on there and we apply 100 years to 48, no man knows the day nor the hour. Don't go tell him Mike McCoy said he knows when Jesus is coming. I do not know. I just know he is. I know he is, and I am ready to go. That's all I know. You better know that. Say, well, if he's not coming back until 2048 or way down the road like that, 100 years, I've got a lot of time. No, you may die. Pauline, Sister Pauline, was going down the road here a couple of Sundays ago and got crashed. We had a girl leave his church from the old sanctuary one time, drove up this road, some fella come across the line at the city cemetery, hit her head on, bang. So you don't know when you're leaving. But you are. We know that He will appear, and when He appears, He's only going to take that which belongs to Him.
But it's not the appearing. To fulfill, to complete the covenant. Because the angel said unto Mary over there on a hillside in Nazareth, he said, he's going to give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And I'm going to tell you this, he's never sat on the throne in Jerusalem. But he's going to. He is going to. Now, in order for us to get the closing part of this, I want you to put your listening ears on and be close. You can go home, and I'm not even going to tell you where this is. It's just in the Bible. You students are going to know. But there is a day when it won't be the appearing, but it'll be His arrival. There's going to be a day when the King puts His foot down on this earth again. A literal man. God in the flesh, in a literal place to rule literally over this world. Are you still with me? Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For, watch this, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. There's two nations right now on this earth that stands with Israel. And one of them are suspect. The other one is us. Two. Out of all the nations, I did know how many there was. It slipped my mind right now. I can't recall the number of nations, recognized nations in the world. But out of all the nations in the world, two standing with Israel. And the UK is hanging by a thread. You still with me? He's going to bring all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when He fought in the day of battle. You want to know how this occurs? You go to Revelation chapter number 19. You're going to find this. The Lord, in Revelation 19, you're going to find the Lord saddled up on a white stallion. So some say, that's spiritual. Listen, He rode on a literal donkey into Jerusalem the first time. A white stallion being the symbol of all power and authority. When they rode the white horse around in Bible days, it meant there was no other one over the top of them. He comes in power and authority. He rode a donkey, the colt of an ass in the first time. Praise God, He's riding in on a white stud the next time. A stallion, a white horse, and those with Him are on horses also. Say, I don't believe all that stuff. I want you to ask yourself a question. What would show more power than if you had all the weapons of warfare that is in this world in which we live, nuclears included, and here comes an army on white horses, and they can't be touched by anything you got? You tell me what shows power. Say, I don't believe that's liberal. Leave your studs tied up, I'll ride too. His feet. The other time we meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Remember the two men? Why stand you here gazing into heaven? Those two? Oh yeah. The angels said He's coming in like manner. Is it coincidence that He's coming back to the same spot? I think not.
By the way, this is nearly 500 years prior to him ascending from the Mount of Olivet, which is before Jerusalem on the east. That'd be it, Johnny. We stood there. And on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great, very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Do you know where the largest measurable fault line in the world lies? Somebody throw me a guess. Mount of Olives, good. Then I say amen, A plus. That's what they told us when we were in Israel. The largest measurable fault line in the earth that's known in the earth is in the Mount of Olives. I said, I'm not surprised. Because this thing going to split in two one of these days. One fellow from another denomination was trying to argue with me. I'm just trying to discuss the Bible. He said, all of that Old Testament stuff has come to pass. I said, you ever been to Jerusalem? He said, no. I said, I have. I said, you ever hear about the Mount of Olives? He said, oh, I've heard about it. I said, you know, Zechariah said it's going to split in two. I've stood on her. She's not split yet. May I suggest if that part hadn't come to pass, there's other parts that hasn't yet, but it will. Why? Because the covenant will be fulfilled. And here's when he sits on the throne. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one. I'm glad I'm on His side. You know what I say to that day? Covenant fulfilled. Fulfilled. Hallelujah. Friend, because He said it, it's like it's already done. It's just like it's already done. It's just waiting to happen. 750 years before that baby's born in Jerusalem, the old prophet penned on a piece of parchment one night, maybe by an old lamp, I don't know, but I know he wrote it down as he was moved by the Holy Ghost. He said, a virgin shall conceive. Well, how does that happen? And shall bring forth a son, huh? And they shall call his name Emmanuel. He's coming. 750 years later, somewhere on a hillside outside Bethlehem, and them shepherds are sitting out there on a cool night staring at the stars. All of a sudden, the heavenly host shows up, and here's what they said in essence, He's here. You've been waiting all this time. You've heard about Him all His life. Hey, you've heard about it. That law's been read to you. You know that law. You know what it says. He's here. How is he? Well, he's a little baby right now. That don't make no sense. God doesn't have to make sense. He's God. He's got a way. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Listen, he's so far and exceedingly above all us. If he had come in some other way, we'd all be in trouble today. And he grew. He was holy. We see Jesus made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's for you, Dave. That's for me. Jesus tasted death for me. Them Jackson family sang up in Kentucky the other night. When that boy rolled out what they could have called angels, I fell in a million pieces. Because it's like the Holy Ghost said, he could have. There's not been any illustrations this morning, just Bible and Scripture. I'm telling you what, we're begotten by the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It is this Word. Friend, may I submit to you this morning that this Word is true. You can't change it. Not one jot and tittle is going to go unfulfilled. It is going to be fulfilled to the glory of God in heaven by the power and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. He fulfilled the law. We couldn't live up to the law. He became that. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. That's Him, the law fulfiller. He's the one today. Are you in covenant with Him? Do you know Him as King and Lord? In the latter times, there'll be some that'll
depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, the Bible said. And they're going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're going to have a form of godliness, but they deny, reject the power thereof. It's power. Listen, it's wonder-working power, as the song says. How about it today? Brother Newt? Now, I know I've been a long time preaching today. God sent something to somebody. You know about the revelation of Jesus Christ? You know about His resurrection? Are you ready for His return? He's coming or you're going. That's for sure. That's for sure. Good to see Isaac sitting back there today. When I ask, if I was to ask today for raised hands, he doesn't have to raise his anymore. That's good, buddy. What about you? Let's stand on our feet. Brother Newt's going to lead us in a song. If you need to pray, I encourage you to come.
379.
If you need to pray, I encourage you to come.
379.
If you need to pray, I encourage you to come.
379.
If you need to pray, I encourage you to come. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.